Hello, this is Still Linden Radio. You're listening to The Manny Show, and my name is Dolly M.
Oh, thank you, Dolly, for introducing the show. Once again, amazing. Hello, Linden Radio. Once again, this is The Manny Show, and you're listening to yours truly, Manio. And we also have in the studio my gorgeous wife.
Hey, everyone.
How you doing, baby?
My name is Sana.
Your name is Sana. How you doing, baby?
Doing good.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Good to see you.
You too.
Haven't seen you all day. Mm. Mm-hmm. And Dahlia, how you doing today?
Good.
Yeah? Remember we been doing in the morning times where we say, okay, we have to try and remember to say 5 good things to somebody. Did you remember to do it today?
I forgot it.
So you can say 1 good thing to the people listening.
I love you guys' smile.
Yes! I'm sure everyone there has nice smiles. And both the grandmas, Grandma Sivia and Grandma Gilly, they say hello from America. Yes. So you can join us on The Manny Show this next hour on the Facebook live stream via Linden Radio's page. Or you can continue to listen locally on in your car, at your home, at work. You can stream on their website. And if you have a song request or a prayer request, or you want to comment on what we're talking about, and you're local, you can text us at
521377.
You're supposed to say 77, but okay. 521377. And what are we doing today, Miss Santa?
We are answering the last bunch of questions.
It only took 4 episodes.
4 weeks. And that is such a good thing. Like, yeah. I'm so happy that it took so many weeks to answer all your questions.
Yeah, that was really, really cool. Mm-hmm. So, and if you have any questions why we are talking, feel free to write them and send them our way. No worries. We'd love to try and answer them as well.
Yep.
And then, if we have time, a little teaser about what it means to live in the abundance that Jesus offers.
Abundantly.
Cool? Mm-hmm. Should we play a song?
Yep.
And then we'll jump into the questions. All right. First song we're going to play is Even Louder by The Church. We'll sing. I was listening to this in the office today. Mm-hmm. Spontaneous worship. Very, very good.
Nice.
You're going to like it. So this is Even Louder by The Church. We'll sing.
Worthy in the empty spaces. Worthy take away the noise. We want to hear your voice.
Hello, hello, hello.
The good part started there.
I know, right? If you want to hear the rest of that song, look up The Church Will Sing. And this is called Even Louder, with some spontaneous stuff in there.
I love some spontaneous
worship.
You
love that spontaneous stuff. Really cool. So, we are finishing this series mm-hmm. that turned into a series about question and answer. You ask us questions and we try to answer them. And we are on the last one, two, three. Three questions. So, you ready for this?
Let's try it.
Holy Spirit, come.
Actually, four questions.
Four questions. One. Oh, yeah. Ish. Yeah. English. So this one, the person asks, I once heard a comment that the Faroese society has been overfished, in quotations, by all the religious activities they have had. Do you think the churches here have an evangelism plan to keep fishing souls for the kingdom? So, yeah. Do we see evangelism at work here on the Faroe Islands? Is it the same as it was before? Is there a plan to continue? Stuff like that. And I figure because you're Faroese, you might have a good answer for this one. Maybe.
Well, I can address the overfished part of the question first. Mm. And the for people that don't know, the phrase, or fishing souls, just means because in the Bible, Jesus says that we're fishers of men yeah. instead of fishers of fish because the disciples were fishermen. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if the Faroe Islands have been overfished in that sense. It's changed a lot over the years, but I think that you could rather say that the Faroe Islands have been fished in the wrong way.
They used the wrong hooks.
Yeah, the wrong,
wrong
bait. because I think without like generalizing, I guess, like not everyone, it hasn't been this way for everyone and for everywhere on the Faroe Islands.
No.
But I think that a lot of people, maybe in the older generations,
mm-hmm.
Are very black and white in the sense that either you are Christian and you like spend all your time in the church and you do everything for God and you know like that, or you're living in the world and you can't be part of the church and the world at the same time, which is true. Like you should live your life, your whole life for God,
right.
Definitely.
Yeah.
But it's been very harsh here. So you're kind of scared into either being in church or not in church. So, like, there's no grace. There wasn't any grace for the people that were maybe on their way into the church.
Mm.
So, like, either, like, one thing that maybe not so... Or maybe a weird example, but either you go to church or you like to dance. You know, like,
yes,
it's not a serious thing, but it's still like, what if I like to dance, but I want to go to church?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and so you're scared to either going to church and never dancing again, or you dance, but then you can't allow yourself into the church. And I think, and that's very like a extreme,
example.
But
it was probably true
in the same, like, yeah, because that's at least when I grew up, like I danced in church, but there were a lot of churches when I was young or younger, and that's not that long time ago. I'm not that old. But even then, like some churches, I actually experienced being told that I couldn't dance in the church.
Mm.
Not in my church, my home church, but I went to another church with friends and I wasn't allowed to dance there.
Mm.
And I was like, what? We are the ones that have something, a reason to dance. Why yeah. can't we dance?
And we sing songs, we'll dance like David danced.
But no one dares to dance. Anyways, but the thing is, I think that
that the tactic has been wrong, mm-hmm. where you're kind of scared into either or.
Yeah.
And so not overly fished, but with the wrong bait.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember our old pastor Thomas, he said that when they were younger,
mm-hmm.
the Christians were not allowed to go to the cinema.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was not Christian.
Yeah, and they weren't allowed to play cards and yeah. that stuff. And that was very real on the Faroe Islands, mm-hmm. at least. And yeah. And then there's the evangelism part. Like, I think, like, also when I was younger, I experienced a lot going out with soup. You know, soup for Christ or whatever it's called. And
we would do beans and rice and Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and all those things are great, but maybe not as effective in some areas. Mm-hmm. Like here, I don't know, it's not always that's the best way to evangelize, but yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm not saying that you shouldn't do it at all. Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm.
But I guess, you know, the question is there an evangelism plan? And like you said, The first part of the question, the overfished, it was maybe just people were being fished the wrong way. Our one of our
yeah
our friend he said that he went to a camp when he was a kid, and it was like a churn or burn type thing,
yeah.
you know? And he got so scared that he ran to the front because he didn't want to burn.
Okay, I believe.
And it's like, really? Does Jesus want, you know, want to? Does God want his people to follow him out of fear? You know, because the Bible clearly says he doesn't give us a spirit of fear, mm-hmm. but of love, power, and a sound mind. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think, you know, evangelism is different in every country we go to. We're having this discussion about.
But also from church to church.
And also church different. To church, because they have their different DNA, their different style.
Yep.
And so there's no wrong way, I think, as long as it's done out of love.
If it's out of love, and if it's a need that you can see in the city. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think that's the right way to evangelize. If you go out into the city that you're in, or into your village, and you see a need, then evangelizing is filling that need.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, and I think in Toshan, I think the young families, for instance, that's, mm-hmm. I see that as a clear evangelism area, because yeah. that they really need encouragement and help and,
yep.
you know, so mm-hmm. I see that as a perfect opportunity for evangelism to go and help the young families.
Mm-hmm.
Where in somewhere else, some other country or some other village, that might not be the issue. Mm-hmm. Maybe there are a lot of homeless people. And so that would be the perfect way for the churches there to evangelize, to go out to the homeless people and help them. And then, et cetera,
so on and so on, yeah. Here's a really good, how would you say it, like, guide to figure out if your motives are right. Because we're saying that it doesn't matter what style you use to evangelize, to reach out to people,
mm-hmm.
As long as you're doing it out of love. And everyone could say, well, I am doing it out of love. This is how I love people, right?
Yeah.
And I think the best way is the 1 Corinthians 13, where it begins. It says, you know, stuff like, you know, if I, you know, speak angelic words and have like great intelligence and stuff like that, but I don't have love, then I'm just like an annoying gong, boom, you mm-hmm. know?
Yeah.
And that goes for like, I would think the intelligent part of how to reach people. A lot of people, they want to know the apologetics of theology. They want to become super smart so that they can win arguments.
How can I convince other people to believe in God?
How can I prove that they're wrong with their way of looking at life?
Yeah.
And you never win somebody by winning an argument. You win mm-hmm. them by loving on them.
It's not our... Actually, we can't win anyone because it's only God that can save
exactly.
anyway. So... if we are arguing or discussing, or if we're doing something for them, I think the doing something for them has mm-hmm. the most effect and will lead them in the right direction to be saved by God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
More than convincing them or
yep.
trying to.
And even if we like do like really cool, like it also talks about if I sing like the angels and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
you know, all these different approaches towards reaching out where you use your talents.
Yeah.
But you do it out of
the wrong intentions.
You use your intelligence, wrong intentions. If it's not fueled by love, and then you can read the rest of the chapter and find out what the description of love that they're talking about is.
Mm-hmm.
If it fills those categories, if it fills those characteristics, then you know you're on the right track. And you're not scaring people into this relationship with God, because it's an enjoyable, life-changing relationship that we get.
Mm-hmm.
I remember my dad, he shared this one story that when he was at a grocery store working, and he was newly saved, and I think there was a few people there, and they were having Bible studies during their break time. One guy, he was just very much anti-Christian, anti-Jesus and all this. And the other people tried to, like, have debates with him and talk with him, and he would just get even more mad, you know. And my dad would never say anything. And the guy went up to him, "What about you? You going to argue with me too?" He's like, "No." He's like, "Well, prove to me that God is real, and I'll believe." And my dad, he said he just felt compelled to stand up and poke him in the forehead really softly.
Doot.
Yeah, just on the forehead. And he just said, I think he said that, he said, "Jesus," or like, "in Jesus' name," something very simple like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy just was stuck frozen in that position through the whole break. My dad, the break was over. He went back to work.
The guy just stood there.
He came back in.
Okay.
He came back in to pick up his stuff. The guy was still there. And then, like, I guess he was gone for a couple of days. And when he came back, he's like, "You ruined my life. You know, I didn't believe in God. And now I know he exists. And I don't want him to." It's like,
poor,
you know,
dude.
Yeah, poor dude. And sometimes I think it's just like that. In Denmark, I would so want to convince people that Jesus was for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we said earlier, in some countries like Denmark, you can say that you're Christian all you want, and they'll be like, "Oh, that's great for you." And then just move on. They don't care.
Yeah.
You know? And maybe that's the direction that the Faroe Islands is heading right now, and we have a chance to stop that. But anyways, I stopped trying to convince people. Instead, I just, you know, would share what Jesus has done in my life,
mm-hmm.
and I would just expect the supernatural. God is a supernatural God, and I want him to show up in that way, in healing or in prophecy or whatever. And I saw a lot of different results because of that. So evangelism is different. We believe that the Faroe Islands still needs evangelism. Every place in the world needs people to share the gospel of peace, and not only talk about it, but show it.
Yep.
So hopefully that answers your question about evangelism on the Faroe Islands and evangelism anywhere. And then she writes, "And do the churches look after the foreigners?"
It's kind of the same question, question that we answered the other day.
Yeah.
That of course they should take care of the foreigners,
mm-hmm.
because they should take care of everyone, no matter where they come from.
No matter.
And yeah.
Yeah. So true. And I think a lot of churches, at least the churches that we have relationships with, are trying and mm-hmm. doing what they can. So as long as you're trying, you know, and go, it's a two-way street.
And also, you just said, I was going to say that too. It takes both. It takes two to tango.
It takes two. All right.
A song?
Yeah, let's play a song.
Okay.
It takes two.
Not that song.
All right. So jump in on the conversation. If you have something to add about what we're talking about, and
if you disagree,
because I know some people, I remember talking to somebody when I was preaching once, and he said, "I really enjoyed your preach." He's like, "But I don't hear enough preaching about sin anymore. You know, people need to know what sin is and stuff like that."
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's his style, and that's what he's passionate about, to make sure people know what can separate you from God, and go for it, you know. But I don't think I should push my style onto somebody, or him push his style onto me. As long as, you know, we're one body, many parts, and we have different functions and different giftings, and as long as we work together, then you know, we're going to see success. Great success.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? Let's play a song. All right, this is Blessing I Can't See by Building 429.
I'm lifting up my heart again, cause even when I can't see the plan, I know your love is closing in on me. You hold the whole world in your hands till you feel the pain, you understand. Ain't just the wall I'm standing in, no, no. It's a blessing I can't see, yeah. It's a blessing I can't see, yeah.
Heartache doesn't mean that you're not working. Always, even when it won't stop hurting. Cause I know every setback was a setup for something greater that you had in store. All along, you've seen beyond the storm. So when I struggle, I trust you. Scars and how far you have brought me through the dark. And I know every setback was a setup for something greater that you had in store. So I trust you in everything. I trust you in everything, oh God. Whatever tomorrow brings, I trust you. Is closing in on me. You hold the whole world in your hands till you feel the pain, you understand. Ain't just to know I'm standing in, no, no. It's a blessing I can't see, yeah. It's a blessing I can't see, yeah.
Blessings I Can't See by Building 429. So this is just a side question. I want to prove my wife wrong.
What?
If we played...
Oh, you're so rude. Okay.
If we played here on the radio station an hour of like really good acoustic worship.
You said 2 hours.
I'll meet you halfway. An hour.
Okay.
An hour of acoustic worship, people. Would you listen to it and enjoy it? Like good stuff, like modern, modern acoustic.
There are a lot of good acoustic songs.
Elevation, Bethel, Hillsong, Building 429, and some other stuff.
Bunch.
Phil Wickham and Leland.
A bunch. But I think that it would be, I would get a little bit bored of it after a bit.
We'll pray for you.
But what do you guys people out there think?
What do you guys people?
What do you guys people? What do you guys think with an hour of just acoustic worship, hallelujah, good acoustic worship, be awesome?
Yes, it would.
Or would it be too much?
No, it wouldn't.
Anyways, next thing.
Yeah, all right, we're back. If you're just joining us, we're finishing up a series of question and answers from you all. We're on the seventh question from the series, but man, it's taken us a long time to answer questions. All right, this one. And this one's really close to me. This question that a friend of ours, Kent Dickerson, asked. It is it possible to live whole, healed, balanced, and free after addictive temptations and behaviors have ceased? And then he quotes a scripture from Philippians 1:1, that your life will be full of the many good works that are produced by Jesus Christ to bring glory and praise to God. What does this look like to be completely free of an addiction, or that addiction is completely in the past?
1:11.
What did I say?
1:1.
Philippians 1:11. Thank you, my sidekick.
Mm-hmm. So, always at your service.
Aye, aye. Yeah. So basically, he's talking about these addictions. But the way that he, you know, dealing with addictions, if you had been addicted to anything in the past, it could be drugs, alcohol, it could be a lustful lifestyle, it could be pornography, it could be an eating disorder, it can be you name it. Addiction is addiction.
And laziness.
Laziness. Addicted to laziness. Addicted to your work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of these, it's the same root, addiction, right? But what he wrote right here, and I just want to clarify this part, is that he talks about being free after addicted temptations and behaviors have ceased. Seized means like...
No more.
No more, absolutely. And I understand what he's saying right there, but I think concerning temptations...
The behaviors could have ceased, but mm-hmm, the temptation will always be there.
Yeah, and yeah. For example, at least in my life, yeah, I struggled with addictions of all kinds and drugs mainly for 10 years of my life. And when I gave my life over to Christ, when I surrendered that lifestyle and I hit rock bottom. In this program that I went to, Teen Challenge, the desire to do the drugs, the addiction, that part, it just
disappeared. Cool.
Like miracle disappear. It was crazy. And I saw like not just one or two, but like hundreds of people coming in and this happening. A few people, which they say the hardest things to break with addiction are alcohol, heroin, and cigarettes. Cigarettes are probably
so hard.
So hard, right?
I've heard.
You know, right? With your deep voice.
Know all about that.
my roommate, he was smoking 5 packs a day because he was, you know, high on drugs, and you just, you know, light a cigarette. When it was done, light another one. It's just all day. And he was smoking like that way for decades. Mm-hmm. 5 packs a day almost. And overnight, just disappeared.
Yeah, my dad, he said that too, that he was drinking and smoking, but then when he became a Christian, mm-hmm, like that day, he never had to drink or smoke again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the addiction that I had to my lustful lifestyle, that took a long time to get over. And there are still temptations where I think about the past, you know, even doing the drugs, the fun times that I was doing drugs, because it says, you know, and it's true, that sin is fun for a season. Mm-hmm. So all of these things, like those temptations are always there. They will never cease, I believe, until Jesus comes again.
Yeah. But that's also our bodies. Like any temptation doesn't have to be addicting temptation, but any temptation.
Yeah.
Temptation will always be there. We're going to get tempted every day in something, you know.
And Paul, he writes, he says to beat our body into submission.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's a daily thing where we starve the fleshly desires and we feed the spiritual life. And so you have that contrast, and it just it takes an investment. If you think this lifestyle, this abundant life with Jesus is worth it, then you're going to invest in it. If you don't, then you're not, and then you're going to have the other lifestyle that you were in before. You're going to be feeding that one and investing in that one. In this area, it is very black and white. You know, we talked about, you know, in the olden days, they were very black and white about their Christianity. But I think there's some truth to that and fundamental.
Yeah, definitely.
That the Christian life is very black and white. Either you feed the lifestyle that the world approves of, or you feed the lifestyle and invest in the lifestyle that God has for you. Mm-hmm. Which one is it going to be? I chose the lifestyle with Jesus full on, and I still get tempted. I still say, oh, you know, for example, our economy. Mm-hmm. You know, if I didn't tithe and I didn't use all this time doing ministry, then I could work more, save more, and we'd have a more comfortable life. Or would we?
Yeah.
Or would we? You know, and I choose not to play with that temptation because I know what it is to live that way. And there might be plenty of people that are living successful to the world, but maybe they're empty inside. I don't know, and I'm not here to judge. All I'm saying is that for us and for me, you know, I choose not to submit to those temptations. And his question is about addictions. But one thing I do know, and I quote this scripture all the time, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. And all this is from God through Christ. And what that is saying is that old lifestyle, we can say, no, we're done with that. That's the old way. I have been renewed. I am a new creation, a renewed creation in Christ Jesus. I've been reminded and shown what he originally created me to be. Mm. And it's a funny thing because there's like these movements called AA and NA, Alcohol Anonymous and NA. And when you go to these meetings, they have this thing when you introduce yourself and share your testimony. And you say, hey, my name is so-and-so and I'm an alcoholic. And I've been clean for so many days, so many months, so many years. And I challenged a group of people that I was communicating with, having a dialogue with. I said, well, the way that I was introduced to freedom from my addiction and I found a new lifestyle in Christ Jesus and my identity, my identity is not in my addiction and never will be again. Mm-hmm. So when I introduce myself, I will never say, hello, my name is Manuel and I'm a drug addict or I'm mm-hmm. an alcoholic, because I'm not and I never will be in the name of Jesus. And even if I was to fall and say I have a relapse and I go back to my drug addict life or alcoholic life, I know that that's a lie of a lifestyle. That's not me. That's not what I was created to be. And I know how to get out of that lifestyle. That's to run into the arms of Jesus. And anyone else can do that as well. It's a fight. It's a struggle. It's a journey. But in him, you can find strength. And with the people around you that believe in you and have the same value system, you can make it. You don't have to surrender to those addictions, those temptations. You don't have to have your identity and the lies that that lifestyle brought to you and defines you as. Your lifestyle and who you are is in Christ, your creator. And he's made you so amazing.
So the short answer is yes, you can live a whole, healed, balanced, and free life after addictive behavior.
Yes, you can. And if you are struggling with addictions, mm-hmm. I work for a social media company, and we just went public with a campaign helping, how do you say the name? The Frelse House?
Yeah, Vitra Stolnerin.
Yeah.
Frelse,
yes, the video is everywhere, and is about a day in the life of this home that helps young people from the ages of 18 to 24, I believe, that are fighting with or struggling with addictions. You can go to this home and get help. So
for free.
For free. Mm-hmm. So find it on Facebook if you're here on the Faroe Islands listening to this. The video is everywhere. I'm spamming everybody with it because it's a great message.
And a great place.
And a great place. I've been there a few times, and it is a place to just get away from your environment and just get refreshed, renewed, get the tools that you need to, break away from those addictions.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yeah, any more you should add to that question?
Nope.
Okay, and shall we answer one more question and then play a song?
Yep.
This is from our friend in Denmark, Elsa. And she asks, how can I be the best witness for Christ? Santa, how can you be the best witness for Jesus?
By living my life fully the way God intended me to. And live a life in love, where we love others. And especially the people that we don't know and people that are not saved. Like, show them God's love. Because it's only His love that will ever transform anyone.
Mm. Yeah. Can I get a witness? I wanted to say that the whole time. Very good, very good. Cool. Oh, and by the way, we got a comment about the whole acoustic music.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yes, 1 hour music doesn't bore me. It's relaxing.
Oh, okay. I guess we can do 1 hour.
We're not here that long, so I would never play all music for our show.
Huh?
I would never just play all music for our show.
The whole show?
But the radio station, we can gladly request it and see.
Yes.
Yes, yes. Very cool. All right, so we're going to play a song and then come back and see what's next.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, you have any comments about what we're talking about, feel free to write us on the Facebook live stream, or you can write us a text message. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and share that link to that page so that you can learn more if you're struggling with addictions. And it's all private. You can write them a private message. There's a phone number. You can call them and talk to them. And even if it's not you and you know somebody, give them a call and ask them for advice on what you can do. Very good. All right. Next song by Tasha Layton, Love Lifting Me. Did you like my remix? That was Tasha with the Love Lifting Me. Yeah. I was so excited about sharing that link about the video and the page, and I used the wrong keyboard and then it did the mix. Oops. Anyways, Yes, we're back, and we have answered all the questions, Miss Santa.
Woohoo!
Isn't that amazing? Wow, and we still have 15 minutes left.
Yes.
Sweet! Which gives us an opportunity to share about what we prayed about last night.
You really want to talk about
it. Why not? It's a good thing.
I said that you really want to talk about
it. Oh. Yeah, I actually do. What are you going to do about it?
Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing, honey. So if you don't know, if you haven't been listening to us, this is your first time, Santa and I have decided to do this spiritual routine after we put the kids to sleep. Mm-hmm. So before we veg out on Netflix and do our own thing, after a long, hard day of work and four kids. But we share devotion together. We pray together. And especially because we're going to be, going to be starting this new organization here on the Faroe Islands. And we're going to go away to get some training for a couple months, 3 months. And when we come back, we're going to get started after the summer. And so we just want to make sure that we're ready spiritually, relationally, mentally. So I think this really helps us.
Mm-hmm.
And some days you're really on fire and inspired about it. And other days I am. And last night I was. And
I was not so much last night. Sorry. Yeah.
So I'm in between books right now, and I'm reading, trying to finish up Bill Johnson's, I think it's called God is Good. And it mixes in with one of my devotions I was having too. So it was just like it was meant to read that portion of the book and have that devotion together. So it was really cool. And he was talking about a scripture, Ephesians 3:21, that the Lord will supply abundantly all that we ask and think, all that we ask for and think of, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so Bill, he says that it's quite a unique and special phrase that Paul uses, abundantly all that we ask for and think of. He says, because the ask part is about, you know, everything that we pray for and that our heart prays for. Because the Bible says that sometimes we don't know what to pray for. So the Spirit in us, you know, prays on behalf of us to God for our needs, even though we don't know how to put words on it. Yeah. The Holy Spirit does it for us.
Yeah.
And he says that even in our best prayer day, with the most faith that we've had in such a long time, he goes above and above and beyond that. He gives more and he gives it abundantly, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, and then the thinking part, that's our imagination. So imagine on your best day, your most creative day, you're just thinking, wow, if only I had the resources to do this, you know, you're just thinking way out of the box. And then he says, and again, God says, he's just waiting for you to finish, you know, your request that you're thinking of, your imagination is going wild. And he's just on the sidelines waiting for you to finish. He says, okay, now multiply that by 100. And this is what I'm offering you,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's what he, that's what it means to, that God gives abundantly. Right. And then, I was reading John 10:10. As part of my devotion. And it's the scripture where it says the enemy, Jesus is talking to some people and he says, the enemy, the devil, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I come and I come to give life abundantly.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, okay, what does this word abundant mean? Can you remember some of the stuff I said?
Super abundance.
Yeah, I looked up like the definition of abundantly in there. And there was one is like
extravagance or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, it was just overly supplied, a surplus, you know. And I was giving the example of surplus. What's surplus? And it's so like you look in your fridge and it's full. You have everything you need for the week. Then you look into your pantry and that has like 10 of everything that's in the fridge. So you have a backup plan. But then you go into another huge room and that has like 100 times of what you have in the pantry that's in the fridge.
Mm-hmm.
It's just an immense amount of surplus. You're just like, I don't need this much.
That's a whole lot of lasagna.
That's a whole lot of lasagna. Garfield would love us. You know? And that's the lifestyle that Jesus wants to give us. Now, we could look at it the wrong way and say, well, you know, where's all this materialistic things that you're talking about? And it's not necessarily materialistic things that Jesus is talking about. He's just talking about a life and a life abundantly to the fullest, you know? Mm-hmm. Mm. And I can remember, and I hear a lot of people say too, that they can have everything that they desire and what they and that they supposedly need, and they can still feel empty inside. And I don't know if I totally agree with this next statement I'm going to say, but they say that. But I guess I understand it. But it's, you know, in Christ, you're never in want, or you're never in need. That Jesus is enough. You know, mm-hmm. that phrase, Jesus is enough. And I guess I can agree with what they're saying to a point, but, and I remember somebody saying in a preach that if Jesus stopped blessing you today, everything that he's done for you is enough for you to keep following him. And I don't know if I agree with that.
I mean, I understand, like, if you experience God, then you can never, like, you should never be able to turn away from him, because mm-hmm. you know what he can do and who he is.
Yeah.
In that sense, yeah. that's true. But your God also fills you up, but you are always wanting more of him.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah. And I think that's the life and the life to the fullest, because every day is just full of his presence, his blessings, his teachings, his experiences that he wants us, that might be tough, that might be tiresome, that might be confusing, but it's all for a purpose to make us a better us,
mm-hmm.
you know? Yeah. And I think that's what that life and the life abundantly means. And it's a clear definition of his quality that God is a good God. And you can argue, you know, what about the God of the Old Testament? And then I can just say, well, Jesus says that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so anything that you can't understand about God in the Old Testament, you can fully understand in Jesus in the New Testament. And that's the only answer that I can really give, because I choose to believe that he's a faithful Father, because that's what the Bible says and that's what I've seen. That he's a good God, even though I don't understand his goodness. But his goodness is way bigger than any type of goodness here on earth.
Mm.
And if Jesus said, who I totally trust, because he not only saved me, but he's equipped me for the life I'm living now. If he says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That's all I can really say, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And if he says, I give life and life to the fullest or abundantly, I'm looking forward to it, and I enjoy it even now. What about you? Do mm-hmm. you experience an abundant life with Jesus?
Yeah, especially if I keep close to him.
Mm-hmm.
And like, so I am not much of a reader. Don't know if you've noticed, Manu. But so I also have a hard time, for instance, reading the Bible and doing devotions. But I can, like, right now I've made the decision to, like, almost force myself
mm-hmm.
to have a devotion every morning.
Mm-hmm.
And it's awesome. Like, and so the periods of time where I have the discipline to do that,
mm-hmm.
I really feel like it gives me a life in abundance. Like, mm-hmm. and maybe not, we don't get more money. The more I read my Bible, the more money we get. Not like that.
It's not for that purpose either.
At all. But in it's the purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like I have a purpose
mm-hmm.
when I am close to God
mm-hmm.
because he tells me my purpose and he gives me my purpose in life. And so, and the closer I am to God, the more he talks to me, or he doesn't talk more, but I listen more.
Mm-hmm.
And so the more I understand of mm-hmm. who he is and who he wants me to be, or who I am in him mm-hmm. and the things that I am capable of in him, and those, so like you get more of a fulfilled, purposeful life.
Yeah.
And I think that's the abundance, like, and also just
Yeah, a life full of peace. Mm-hmm. I get that. Like, when I'm close to God, I am peaceful.
Yeah.
And I have peace in mm-hmm. my heart, in my mind, in my soul. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. I like what you said, that, you know, the more time that you spend with Him, you know, you start feeling this life abundantly. And instead of hearing Him talk, or you talking to Him, you like to hear from Him.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're so busy, and this is why I think a lot of people start doubting, is God really good? Is really God? Is God really here? Because we get so wrapped up in our time schedule and our busyness that we don't spend time just relaxing and just waiting for His presence to impress us.
Mm-hmm. And like we read this article, it was about worship, but it can also just be about life, where... the worship or your life and how you feel about your life, I guess, depends on how much time you spend with God and your relationship with Him. But a relationship is a two-way street. So if you come to God and you just say your prayer and talk, this is how I feel, God, and this is my struggles, and I'll do something about it, and then you say amen, and you go. That's a one-way relationship.
Yeah.
When you talk to Him, when you worship Him, when you pray, you also need to give time for Him to answer you.
Yeah.
Give time for Him to whisper, because He's not going to shout at you.
Mm-mm.
But He whispers, and it's all up to you. If you listen, then you'll hear it. If you don't listen, He's still talking to you, but you're not listening.
I love the example I gave in that article.
Yeah, he gave the example of you and me.
Yeah.
So if a wife, like if you're the husband and your wife comes to you and she just talks about her life and talks, because women like to talk, I guess that's why he did the example. But she never lets you talk about your day and talk to her. Mm. So that's the same.
Yeah. We also say like you prepare a script of what you're going to say.
Yeah.
You have it all planned out. And so you go to your spouse and you say everything that you need to say, and they say, okay, I'm done. And then you walk away. It's like, what?
Nothing is resolved.
Yeah, you wouldn't do that to anybody that you have a relationship with. So why would we do that to God? Mm-hmm. And that's what we do a lot. So just slow your roll, people, and enjoy getting a response from God. Amen? All right.
Oops.
I think we're done here. We'll play a song, we'll come back, we'll close in prayer. So this is by Francisca, and it's Defender. Enjoy.
You go before I know that you've even gone to win my war. Your love becomes my greatest defense. Me from the dry wilderness, and all I did was praise, all I did was worship, all I did was bow down. Oh, all I did was stay still. is worship. Hey, Lord, I will just bow down. I'm just gonna stay still.
That was Defender by Francesca.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for joining us. This is the end of our question and answer series.
Unless you have more questions.
Yeah, unless there's more questions that come through the week, then we'll always answer questions no matter what the topic is.
Yes.
Because you all come first. Hallelujah. So we're just going to pray and just say that have a good week, you all. And yeah, be blessed. You're welcome to always write Santa and me on Facebook if you have any prayer requests or questions and you need anything, just give us a holla.
And we can't forget that we're soon going to have a competition.
Oh, yeah. We'll have a competition and we'll start it next week. Right?
We'll see.
We're going to have a competition, so just be ready.
Stay tuned.
Yeah. All right, cool. So, Heavenly Father, we love you so much. And no matter what our questions are, concerns in life or confusions, I pray that those listening, including myself, that we would just come to you in confidence that who you say you are is true, that you're a faithful Father, you're a God that keeps your promises, you are the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, and you have the best intentions for us. You created us. And you were impressed by how you created us because you're like, wow, that so-and-so, that Manuel, that Santa, wow, I did a good job making them. And you know, he made a good job making all of us. So help us to remember that and come to you, our faithful Father, with any questions, any concerns, and bring them to you and then just rest in waiting and knowing that you're going to respond and listen to your still voice, your words that create life in any situation that we're in. We love you so much, Heavenly Father. Thank you for where you've taken us. Thank you for where you're going to take us and that you're with us the whole time on this journey. We love you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bye. Be blessed, everyone.